In pricing, we have seen we can have economic consideration based, which we discussed. We can have several marketing consideration based, which also we have spoken. Now we come to what can be cost based. But as I had mentioned earlier when we started this chapter, any marketing decision cannot be in isolation. It has got to factor in all these three aspects. That means for every type of a market scenario, there would be some type of some economic factors which are playing overall. Like what we said, for a particular product, there may be an elasticity of demand. There may be a situation where normally what we feel that if the price goes up, the demand comes down, or if the price comes down, the demand goes up. There can be situations which are contrary to it. Like we may find that if a product is considered inferior in the minds of the consumer and the price of that goes down and there is a substantial amount of consumption of that particular product, then instead of following the normal thing, price coming down, demand going up, a reverse situation, a contrary situation can happen, and we suddenly find that the demand for the product goes down because the customers may be migrating to some type of a product which they feel is more superior in their mind. Similarly, sometimes if a product is of a very, you know, something which is a luxury product or product which is considered very exclusive, now there sometimes what can happen if the price goes up, the demand goes up. It is something like, you know, membership of an exclusive club or some type of a high-end luxury product or maybe paintings which are very costly. Now, in these cases, what happens in a very immediate future or a very short span of time, while the price goes up, people think that there is a likelihood of this price further going up, and so the demand moves up, but at a certain level it again stabilizes. Now, while some of these which are the economic things, and we have also seen that in terms of marketing considerations, how depending upon a certain phase in a product's life cycle or a certain time phase in a corporate's operational period, there can be different considerations which can trigger some type of a pricing response. Like for instance, if suddenly they discover there is a high amount of inventory which is lying pending, then they may say that it's better, let us give it a little price reduction and let us clear it. Or a new model is going to come in the market, or there is going to be some type of a change in the packaging, some type of an ingredient I am changing in a particular product, there may be an incentive to clear the stocks, and this can prompt an out of turn reduction in the price. Now, having said all these, the last one, which is the most important, is where we are looking at pricing based on cost considerations. That means the company is going to take a decision based on what the cost parameters are. Now, this obviously you will understand is extremely, extremely critical and important, because when we started discussing about this entire marketing thing, I had mentioned that this whole thing evolves around there has got to be a desirability for the product. I'm repeating again, desirability in the minds of the consumers. There comes this aspect of affordability. That means the thing may be highly desirable, but is it affordable as far as that customer is concerned? And the third one is, from the marketeer's point of view, is it viable? Is there a viability? So when we look at this, this entire desirability, affordability and viability also centers around this concept of whatever is the price. So the cost part, you know, which also I mentioned earlier, that while the price is more, you know, it represents better what the seller feels, that this is the price I'm getting, that same price point from a purchaser's point of view may give a connotation that is the cost. So now here what we are going to look at is that from the marketeer's point of view, how does he take a pricing decision based on what his costs are? Now, to understand this, the first thing that we'll start with is that can we take a pricing decision based on total cost and the other, which we normally call marginal cost. So this total, or in sometimes when we call full cost basis, and the other one which we are saying is marginal cost basis. Now, to understand this, we'll start with a simple small little example and we'll see how we tie this whole thing up. Let us suppose that there is one particular operator. He wants to get into the market, and let us say he wants to sell maybe some soap or maybe some washing powder, maybe some small snack food item, something he's trying to sell. Now, let us take that we are taking this gentleman who is trying to manufacture, let us say, small cakes of soap, and he wants to sell in the market. Now, when he does this, obviously for this soap, let us look at two types of costs which are there. One, which we normally say fixed cost, and the other, which we'll say is variable cost. So when I take this cake of soap, there is going to be some material cost. Supposing we say that this material cost is going to be rupees 5, this is per cake of soap. So the material cost we are saying is rupees 5. Now, is there going to be some wrapper? And supposing for that wrapper, the cost is 3 rupees per cake. Then what happens? This particular cake is made maybe in some type of a big vat, and then there is some labor which gives it a shape. It is made in a die. It's a very, very small type of a cake, and let us say a cake of soap, and supposing we say that direct labor is rupees 1 per cake. Then we find that rupees 9 per cake of soap is purely variable cost. Why variable? The number of units that this manufacturer is making, the cost will go up. If he's making one cake, 9 rupees, 2, 18, 3, 27. That's how this thing goes. The other side, let us see. This man operates in a shed. And for the shed, the rentals are, let us say, rupees 25,000 per month. So 25,000 is the rental for that shed. There may be some cost which he has got for water, electricity. Now here we understand that the water and the electricity will have some type of, it will depend to some extent upon what is the type of manufacturing you are doing, how many numbers you are making. But for our understanding, let us take that over a shorter period of time, it is remaining more or less constant. And supposing we say for our assumption that this cost is going to be rupees 10,000 per month. Then what happens that these laborers who are working, there has got to be some supervisor or someone, a manager who has got to look after them. And let us say that there is one manager and there are some couple of other staff. One is for security, one may be supervision. So we say that there is some staff expense, and this, let us say per month, is another 20,000. Now we'll understand that irrespective of what is the number of cakes that we have manufactured, how much we have sold, this is what is going to be the general state of affairs. So here what we are saying that 55,000 rupees is going to be what we call a fixed cost. Okay. Now, for our understanding, let us take this gentleman. He says that in 1 month he is going to manufacture 1,10,000 pieces of soap, and he is going to sell in the market. Now, what should be the price? When we say what should be the price, we find out that this 9 rupees is the variable cost, and 55,000 if I am incurring and I am making 1,10,000, that means per cake of soap, the fixed cost which must be absorbed is 50 paisa. So the full cost of the soap comes is 9 rupees 50 paisa per cake of soap. So if that is the cost, 9 rupees 50 paisa and 1,10,000 he wants to sell, that means this gentleman must have a price which has got to be more than 9 rupees and 50 paisa. Because if he has a price 9 rupees and 50 paisa when he is making 1,10,000 cakes, that is the total cost which he can absorb if he is selling at more than 9 rupees and 50 paisa. So let us say, we say he decides that I'll sell at rupees. He wants to make some profit. So he says I'll sell at 11 rupees. And at 11 rupees he goes out in the market and he finds out, yes, 1,10,000 pieces of soap can be sold. This particular approach which we took, that means my variable cost is rupees 9 per piece, and the fixed cost apportioned is 50 paisa per piece. So 9 rupees 50 paisa, this is what we call full cost approach. And I've said I'll sell 1,10,000 pieces at 11 rupees a piece and I'll make some profit. The other way can be what we call marginal cost basis. In marginal cost basis, what we do, we say that while 9 rupees is my variable cost, whatever piece of number of cakes that I manufacture, my cost is going to remain in multiples of 9 rupees. That is not changing. That rate will remain constant. But this cost which I have taken on the fixed cost apportionment, we take an approach that we won't take it on the basis of 1,10,000 pieces, but we'll look at it in a different way. And that would be that every piece that I sell, so whatever profit that I make, that is going to contribute towards recovery of this fixed expense of 55,000 per month. So if that happens, then the price at which I am selling, obviously that price less whatever is my variable cost of production per unit is going to become what is my contribution towards the fixed cost. And if that is the approach which I take, then we will look at this entire operation from a little different perspective. So here what we say, that supposing my market estimate tells me that if I sell at a price of 11 rupees, I can sell 1,10,000 pieces. Let me see, if I reduce the price to, let us say, 10 rupees 50 paise. Then obviously if the price is slightly reduced, there is a possibility that the demand can go up. So supposing at 10.50, my estimate says I can sell 1,50,000 pieces. Then I go into the market and say, supposing I make the price 10, then what happens? My market tells me I can sell maybe 1,80,000 pieces. If I make the price 9.50, then my market demand tells me my demand may go up to 2 lakh pieces per month. I say price 9 rupees and I can sell 2,50,000. But then the question comes, can I sell at 9 rupees? We will find out that if I sell at 9 rupees, then my variable cost, which is 9 rupees, will just get covered. So I am not going to make any contribution. That means price at 9 is a non-option. Below that, anything which is less than 9, the more I sell, the more I'll lose. So I cannot get into that. That means my price will have to be 9 plus something. Now when I've got 9 plus something, supposing these are some price points I've taken, and I may also say, let me see what happens if I raise the price to 12. And my market tells me that though the demand may drop, but I don't think the demand may be less than 1 lakh pieces. I think we can sell so many pieces. This approach that we take, which is basically the marginal cost approach. Now see here what we have done. From the cost aspect, we have broken our costs into fixed and variable. And on the basis of that, we have found out what is the variable cost above which we have to sell, because then only I can do a contribution. The second thing which we have found is that for this type of a thing, I am assuming that within 55,000 rupees, I am able to manufacture. Now this range which I have found between 1 lakh and 2 lakh 50, perhaps we may find out that that's a range within which we can manufacture with that 55,000. If I go beyond that, then perhaps my fixed may also go up. I may have to take another shed or something. So within this type of a boundary condition, we would then like to find out which is the best proposition at which we should be able to market. So to do that, we now do a little bit of an analysis, and which is like this. What we take is, we will take price points . So we have got price points of 9 rupees is a non-option, so we'll have 9.50. Then we'll have 10 rupees, then we'll have 10.50, we'll have 11 rupees, and we are also taking one which is 12 rupees. Whenever we have got these price points, we take our variable cost, which is same in all the cases. So what happens is the contribution per unit keeps on changing. So in the first case, the contribution per unit is 50 paisa, second case is 1 rupee, third case 1 rupee 50, the next case is 2 rupees, and the third case we have got 3 rupees. The next thing that we do is, what are the volumes as these levels? And the volumes will find that if it is 950, then the volume is 2,50,000. If it is 10, it is 2 lakhs. If it is 1050, it drops down to 1,80,000. 2,50,000 was at 9 rupees, that we are not taking. So we take it is 2 lakhs, 1,80,000, 1,50,000, 1,10,000 and 1 lakh. So when we do this, we can find out what is my total contribution. And here we discover that if it is 950, my total contribution is 1 lakh. If it is 10 rupees, then my total contribution is 1,80,000. If it is 1050, it is 2,25,000. If it is 11, then it is 2,20,000. And if it is 12, then it is 3 lakhs. Now from this, I can deduct what is my fixed cost, which is remaining constant in all the cases. And then when I take my total profit, I discover that in the first case I am making 45,000, second case I make 1,25,000, third case I make 1,70,000, then I make 1,65,000, and this one I make 2,45,000. So I discover that perhaps in this case it makes sense that if there is not much change in demand, I can go to 12 rupees and make 2,45,000. But supposing there can be some other type of a situation that when I go to 12 lakh, I find that my volume is likely to drop from 1,10,000 to 80,000. Then I may find that it may not make sense to sell at this price, because from 2,40,000, when I deduct 55,000, I am coming to 1,85,000. So whenever I look at these types and take the sensitivity, I will decide which is the best one. Like if I leave the 12 rupees, then it looks like that a price at 1050 seems to give me better even from 11 and 10. So basically what is done is, whenever you are doing on the marginal cost basis, we use the fixed cost as an amount to which the contribution is going to be made. And we make sensitivity analysis, go back to the market, find out which is the price at which there is a likelihood of my making a better type of a profit, and I may decide to go. But here, one other thing which you will also have to keep is that these volumes which you are saying, these volumes also you will have to keep in mind that if I suddenly discover that I've got to go to a much higher volume to make profit, and that is what the my survey tells me, there can also be a question of whether that is likely to happen. What is my margin of safety? So what is generally done is, for every volume which is there, at that volume you find out what is your break-even volume, and that difference gives you a margin of safety. So wherever you find that the margin of safety is higher, it makes better for you to go for that volume. So primarily in costing here, what we have seen is I can have two approaches. One is where I take it on a full cost basis, and the other is when we have taken a marginal cost. The next one we look at is conversion cost method. In conversion cost method, what is done is normally you do not take your cost of all the items which go into manufacturing a product to find out what should be your pricing. But if it is such that it comprises, not possible all the places, but if the product is such where there is something which you are converting, like for instance, gold is converted to jewelry, cloth is converted to stitched into shirts or maybe suits, log of wood is converted to some type of a furniture, paper is converted to stationery. So in these cases, what happens? That material, which is just changing a little bit of a shape, size or something, but it is not undergoing some type of a chemical transformation in terms of getting a new product, then in this case, one of the methods of costing is where you do conversion cost. That means you take the material at that cost at which it is, and you only add for the labor input which is there to give it a different shape. And on that basis, you make your pricing. So in this case, what happens? The pricing takes care of whatever is the additional input that has come in terms of craftsmanship, workmanship, shaping, whatever that you have done, the additional thing. But the basic material remains as it is. You may find that a jeweler, you know, when he is selling gold, he will say that this is the weight of the gold. The gold is at whatever is the bullion rate, but the additional is the craftsmanship or the making charges. Now, this is a method which can be used in certain cases, and it holds. This is also a method of conversion cost basis. The next one which we do is where we say joint product pricing. Now, in this particular case, what is done is that while in the process of manufacture, a material, the raw material may up to a point remain the same, after which it starts getting into a product, a byproduct, or something derived out of the byproduct. To give you an example, plain milk, when it is purchased, that milk after it has been churned and it has been boiled and you remove the cream, then that cream can go into making butter, ghee, things like that. Whereas the basic milk after that, after the fat has been skimmed, it can be dried and made into a skim milk powder. So see, up to the point where this process is separating or getting into two or three different products, up to that point, it is the same cost. But thereafter, each process starts on taking with a different amount of input. So what is done is that one method can be that I am only going to take the cost up to that point in equal, and then based on whatever the output has come, we debit the cost or we share it amongst the two products. But there can be possibilities where the end product in one case may not be very, you know, it may not demand that type of a price in the market. It may be at a low value. And hence, if the cost is loaded at the initial phase, then that product may become unviable. So what is done is this apportioning of the cost takes into account what may be the final selling price and tries to factor that in when you are trying to make the costing. Supposing we take soya seed which is purchased in the market. Now this soya seed, when it is crushed, you may get one is soya oil, which after refining you'll sell as a soya oil. The seeds after the crushing which remain, that oil seed can be made into oil cake and finally extruded, and you may get what you get like Nutella and things like that, you get those soya nuggets. So when you are selling from the same soya seed, two end products have come. One is oil, which may fetch a higher price, and the other, which is the nugget, may not fetch a high price. So when you are apportioning these two costs, then you factor in what may be the end price and use that weight in dividing the cost or apportioning the cost to the two products. Like for instance, if milk is taken it is boiled and churned, then the cream is taken out. Up to there, the cost is the same. But from the cream, when you finally make butter and ghee, the final selling price may be much higher than what you are going to get for the skimmed milk or that raw milk which is without the fat. So if you just apportion the cost on the basis of what has gone up to there, you may find that the milk selling is not profitable at all. So here what is done is, you first take into consideration what may be the end price after whatever is the type of yield loss which has happened, and then factor that as a weight in your pricing. So this is a method which is used as joint product pricing method. There is a method which is known as return on investment pricing. Now, when you take a return on investment based pricing, that means here what you do, you factor in that supposing this product I am going to sell at a certain price, then this price must give me whatever I have decided is a certain rate of return on my investment. So what can be the investment? One investment can be what you have invested in plant, machinery, areas, all that, the buildings. So that is a fixed investment. The other investment obviously will be what you are investing in working capital. That means whatever is your current asset, like how much you are holding in stocks, how much you are holding in market receivables. From that you may deduct whatever may be your manufacturer's credit. So this working capital plus the fixed capital, on this you are going to have a certain return. So here what is done is that based on whatever information that you have, you can actually set up an equation, and if you solve that, that will give you what should be the selling price. For instance, let us take an example. Supposing I say that, there is a situation where my product has got a variable cost of, let us say, rupees 11 per piece. This is my variable cost. The next thing which I say, that the fixed cost for a month, let us say, is rupees 5 lakhs. Then what I say, that I have got fixed investment in terms of factories and things like that, and that, let us say, is rupees 20 lakhs. The next thing which I say is that I normally keep 1 month stocks in hand, and I give in the market 15 days market outstanding. And further I say that I would like to have a return of 12% per annum on my investment. So when this type of a situation is there, then we can actually set up a particular equation on the basis of which we can find out what will be my price. So supposing I say my selling price should be P, then if this is my selling price P, and supposing I say this selling price at P, I would like to sell 1 lakh units per month, and I must get a 12% return on my investment. This is the condition I have put. So what is going to happen? I am going to sell 1 lakh units per month at price P. So my total realization will be 1 lakh P is going to do what? It is going to give me, I must cover the variable cost of 1 lakh units. So it is 1 lakh units multiplied by what is my variable cost? 11 rupees. I must get that. Next, what I should do? this particular thing must take care of my fixed cost per month. So that must be covered. Plus, it must also give me, I have covered my variable cost, I have covered my fixed cost. Plus, I must get 12% on my investment. Now, if it is a monthly thing, that means I must get 1%, that means 0.01 on what? On my investment. The first investment is my fixed investment, which is 20 lakhs. So, I must get 1% on 20 lakhs. Plus, whatever is my working capital. So, in that, when I say that my stock is going to be 1 month in hand, so if 1 lakh is my sale, then it is going to be 1 lakh units in hand. And what will be the cost of that? The cost of that will be 1 lakh units multiplied by 9 rupees is going to be my variable cost. Plus, if I am making 1 lakh units in a month and 5 lakhs is my fixed cost, that means that is going to be 5 rupees as fixed cost. So, this becomes my 1 month's investment in stocks. And what is my 15 days market outstanding? If 1 lakh units I sell per month, then 15 days market outstanding is 50,000. And this is going to be at rate P. So, when I solve this equation, this price P will give me at what price, what I am going to do? I am going to tell 1 lakh units at P, which is going to cover the variable cost of that 1 lakh unit, plus the fixed cost, plus it is going to give me 12% per annum, that means 1% per month, on whatever is my total fixed investment, plus whatever is my variable. That variable is 1 month stock. The stock's value will be 9 rupees is variable plus 5 rupees towards fixed, plus 50,000, which is half month's outstanding at the price P. So when I solve this equation, through that I'll find out the price which gives me this type of a return. The next one is when you look at export pricing. In export pricing, always the issue comes is that the price which you are quoting, which one is quoting, it can be on the basis of, there are certain ways on which, like I can have a quote which is C and F. That means it includes the cost of the material and the freight. I can have a quote which is CIF. That means I also cover for cost, insurance and freight. I can do another one which is free on board. That means I give the cost which is up to the carrier. That means it's a ship or a aircraft, up to that loading it is there. Or in the case of ships, sometimes it can be free alongside. That means I take it up to the wharf and then the balance is on the part of the importer. So, depending upon what method on which you have quoted, C&F, CIF, FAS or FOB, what the pricing person has got to take into account is that normally this amount will be in a foreign exchange. It can be dollar, it can be euro, it can be pound sterling. While you are earning this in an exchange, in a foreign exchange, which the importer is going to pay to you through a letter of credit, your costs are all in rupees. So, whenever one is quoting for exports, one has got to factor in that what is going to be the exchange rate at the time when I am going to get my payment under the letter of credit. So, like for instance, if rupee starts getting weaker, then for the exporter, like supposing if today the dollar is 55 or 56 rupees, is the conversion rate, then rupee becoming weaker, the exporter in terms of rupee starts earning more. Whereas if someone is importing, then for him it becomes more costly because he has got to pay to the exporter in the outside country in the foreign exchange. So his purchase becomes dearer. Now this aspect one has got to take into account when one is quoting for exports. The rest of it is more or less the same, that you will have your variable cost, you will have your fixed cost. You may also have some special packing which you may have to undertake. You know, the writing may be different, the script may be different, the panels may be different. And those packing containers, you may have to exhaust only in the export order. You may not be able to sell that thing in the Indian market. So these have all got to be factored. Also in export pricing, one has got to take into account what are the incentives that the exporter can get. It can be in terms of, you know, some concessions on the excise duty, on customs duty. It can be on the basis of some cash incentive which the government is getting. So all these have got to be factored. And on the other side, there may be additional costs which are there, special packaging, special handling. All these have to be factored in when one does for export pricing. The last one that we'll talk of here in pricing is that the cost-based pricing is in case of where somebody is giving a warranty or a guarantee on a product. Like for instance, if someone is selling a refrigerator or an air conditioner and he says that I am going to give you a warranty of 2 years, then what has got to be factored in is that in case within the 2 year period, if there is a failure of a compressor or some critical component which can be there, that cost may have to be absorbed right away. So what the organization or the marketer will have to do is, the marketer will have to make an estimate of what may be my failure of very critical component and what may be the cost of that. And that cost needs to be loaded to the other cost in order to come to what will be your full cost for making the pricing. So these are some of the methods which are used when it comes to cost-based pricing.